On Tuesday, May 24th, 2016, at 4:31 a.m., Jonathan Safran Foer wrote, "Being the world's last Hotmail user finally caught up with me a few months ago, and I lost virtually all of the correspondence I'd saved since getting the only email address I've ever had. You came to one of my first readings for my first novel, and in the 15 years of friendship that have followed, we've known each other through many other firsts. In the process, we've exchanged a great number of emails about work, parenting, religion, politics, and you're now on the brink of another first, the release of your directorial debut, a tale of love and darkness. It's most explicitly about a boy growing up in Jerusalem in the final years of the British Mandate, but it's every bit as much about mothers and sons, husbands and wives, dreams, depression, Jewishness, and language itself. When the time suggested this piece and became clear we weren't going to be in the same place for long enough to allow for a traditional profile, me observing you in the farmer's market, etc., which would have felt ridiculous anyway, I was happy to think of the lost correspondence being somehow replenished with or redeemed by a new exchange." On Wednesday, May 25th, 2016, at 5:44 a.m., Jonathan Safran Foer wrote, "It's almost 6 o'clock in the morning. The boys are still asleep. I can hear the guinea pigs stirring, but that might be the residue of a nightmare. People often refer to aloneness and writer's block as the two great challenges of being a novelist. In fact, the hardest part is having to care for guinea pigs. Am I correct that A Tale of Love and Darkness is the first project that was entirely your own conception? The film is based on Amos Oz's memoir of the same name, but that was your choice, as were all of the departures your script makes from his book. There is so much I love about the film. How simultaneously precise and impressionistic it is. How visually and verbally beautiful. But more than anything, I was moved by how much you seem to care about it. That is not the observation of a friend. The art that I feel most passionate about always conveys its creator's passion. Freedom might not be a prerequisite for the expression of passion. It helps sometimes not to be able to follow your instincts. But they are strongly intertwined. How do you think about freedom? When do you most strongly wish you had more of it? When do you most strongly wish you had less? I hear steps on the stairs. Larger than paws, thank God." On Thursday, May 26, 2016, at 12:35 p.m., Jonathan Safran Foer wrote, "It's Thursday. Garbage day. One of the garbage days, I should say. Thursday and Sunday are garbage days. Tuesday is garbage and recycling day. Monday and Tuesday are alternate side parking days, which makes Tuesday parking, garbage, and recycling a very special day indeed. At 8:30, everyone double parks, creating two lanes of parking on one side of the street. Once the street cleaning Zamboni comes through, everyone moves his car back. But you have to stay in it until 10 o'clock, with the pretext of being able to move it if necessary. Otherwise, de Blasio's willing executioner will slap you with a hefty ticket. I don't know to what extent this is law, convention, or a massive NPR conspiracy. Literally half of my neighborhood sits around listening to the radio while watching the clock never tick. Why do I mention all this? Because the garbage and parking are among the many rituals around which my daily life is organized. Some are imposed, like school pickup times. Some are self-originating if meaningless, like buying a seltzer every day on the way to pickup. And some were created for the purpose of adding deliberateness and meaning to life. For the last half a year, we have played a game at dinner called The Wonder Line. If one of the kids can tell me something that generates the experience of wonder, the cocked head, slight nod, raised eyebrow, and muttered, we call it clearing the wonder line. If they can clear it 5 times, they get to decide how we end the night, i.e., have ice cream or watch a Pirates of the Caribbean iteration. It must be terribly difficult to establish rituals in your life. Night shooting at 3:30 in the morning. I know you don't have an average day, but what have you tried to ritualize in your work and home life? And so long as the subject has been raised, what has cleared your wonder line in the past couple of weeks? On Friday, May 27, 2016, at 12:21 a.m., Jonathan Safran Foer wrote, "The clock recently ticked over to 12 o'clock from Thursday to Friday. It's been unseasonably warm, lower 90s. The calendar is ticking over to summer. We're driving to Blue Ridge Summit, Pennsylvania, later today to spend Memorial Weekend with my brothers and their families. It's a wonderful place. It is literally a census-designated place, rather than a city, town, or village, where my sister-in-law's family has been going for decades. The two things that distinguish it are its proximity to Gettysburg, which I always threaten the boys with a day-long tour, or if they don't behave on the 4-hour drive down, and Site R, a complex on Raven Rock Mountain, built to serve as an underground Pentagon. Apparently, it was Cheney's preferred undisclosed location. I never have followed through on my threats of a tour, but Gettysburg presence is constantly felt while in the area. The innumerable signs commemorating battles, the ammunition in the antique shops, the memorials. It also exudes a ghostly aura. I feel silly writing that, but there's nothing silly or ignorable about the feeling, and it isn't just the proximity to history, it's something else. Something in the air, and in the ground. Are there places where you feel something else?" On Sunday, May 29th, 2016, at 7:31 a.m., Jonathan Safran Foer wrote, "Hello from Blue Ridge Summit! All the cousins slept in the same room last night, which required half a dozen new amendments to the Constitution. Who was allowed to wake up whom, and who was obligated to wake up whom, and under what conditions, and exactly how, and exactly when? Cy came into my room not long ago, grumpier than Ed Asner in Up, bemoaning how everyone else was awake, and for all he knew, they'd been watching cartoons and eating dessert for hours. And now his entire weekend, not to mention his entire life, had been wasted with sleep. It was 6:10 in the morning. I tried to waste a bit more of my life with sleep while he whined, but he refused to be ignored. And when I attempted to gently point out the irony that he'd been complaining about wasted time for half an hour, he only redirected his anger from his cousins onto me. My first book came out when I was young. But you? Oh, you've been a professional actress for what seems like your entire life. How has that influenced your sense of the passage of time? Most people see milestones ahead and work towards them. You had so much come at once. Is there any sense in which writing and directing are a means to feel that you were beginning again? And not to pile on the questions, but A Tale of Love and Darkness is about a young boy growing up in a young country that is itself growing up. At the same time, the boy is clearly a very old soul, and the young country is more than 5,000 years old. More, you play a woman who is never her chronological age, sometimes too full of a child's wonder to be an adult, sometimes prematurely old, sometimes almost biblical. What, if anything, did your own experiences with time, growing up, and as a mother, contribute to your vision of time in the film? On Sunday, June 5th, 2016, at 3:44 p.m., Jonathan Safran Foer wrote, "Not even Shabbat can stop the clock. Two have moved from the future to the past in the course of our having this exchange, but every now and then, the broken-down time machine that is Hotmail can cough itself back to life. I didn't bother mentioning it because it felt so fruitless, but while corresponding with you, I have also been corresponding with what I think is a robot at Hotmail. And while most everything that was lost remained lost, I was able to dig up a few things, including the email that began our long friendship from all the way back in 2002.